cliffcentral.com. Womandla on cliffcentral.com.
Like we do every Wednesday around this time, I'm Pume Mashego and you're tuned in to Womandla. So today is, I've got a full house of girls here. And I'm very excited because this is one of those topics that that gets women hot under the collar. So when it comes to opportunities in the workplace, I'm very privileged to have in the studio with me today Talent Africa's Executive Director for Executive Search. Oh, too many. Executive, director, executive search, warawara. You're going to have to tell us what that actually means, Musima.
I can hear your tongue twisting all over again.
Yeah.
Let me just help you. My name is Musima Selekisho. And I'm an executive director for Talent Africa. And Talent Africa is an executive search company.
Which... it's actually like headhunters, right?
We are headhunters.
That's, and when I was looking at it and thinking, talent search, executive search, and I thought, oh, it's like these ones, ne? This is for the top echelon of workers. This is not the workers that Balile Hotla was talking about, Mobani, the general job seekers and disgruntled job seekers and young people in the workplace. This is about that woman who is ready for the next step. And I only heard the term C-suite executives about, I think about a month ago for the first time. And I was like, hey, Mara, the workplace. Wait till the workplace, they change it.
It's changing completely.
What does that even mean, C-suite executives?
Look, we're talking chief executive officer. The name starts with C.
Mm-hmm.
Chief information officer. The name starts with C. Chief operations officer. The name starts with C. Chief financial officer, chief marketing officer. So those are the C-suits. All the titles start with a C.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between moving up the ladder in those roles as opposed to moving into a managerial role is that on a managerial role, you are forever looking for jobs. If you are still edgy, forever looking, just know that you're not ready to be an executive.
Mm-hmm.
Executives are sitting where they are, doing the best they have to do, and my responsibility is to find them. Of the 10 people that I've placed in all the years that I've been in executive search, it's only maybe one that has been looking. 9 are sitting where they are. My responsibility is to identify them and sell the job to them.
So if you're still sitting there fixing your CV
every day,
you're not ready.
No.
And then I have a very good friend of mine, Ndibu, who is upset with me because she feels like she was misled into being in the studio. Ndibu, you were not misled. You just heard what you wanted to hear. And Ndibu sits above the C-suite because you sit at board level. So you are as people then say, we're on a board of directors. Baba did board pack. Right? So you are the person that the C-suite would then be reporting to. You sit in that space.
Yes. Yes.
Of life. And the reason, the reason I wanted to have this conversation is because I think one of the things, we talk a lot about transformation. We talk a lot about equity in the workplace and women this and opportunities and all of that kind of stuff. But when you read the papers, when you look at who runs organizations, the other very fashionable phrase, white capital, when you look at who those people are running those organizations, they're all white males.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. And so I want to understand if the opportunities truly exist for women, and in particular black women, to move into that C-suite space. And Musima, when we were talking earlier and I was saying to you, so you're saying I'm going to look for that person. That executive is sitting in doing the best in their job, wherever they are, and I'm going to look for them and sell the job to them. So when a person comes to you, when an organization comes to you looking for a candidate, do they tell you that they're looking for a black female or a white male, or do you just decide that this is the best person for this kind of job?
We get different kind of briefs from clients. Some clients might say to you, I'm looking for I'm under pressure to transform my organization. In line with that, I'm looking for a black female. Okay. Alternatively, some clients might say, look, this role is quite one of my most important roles. For me, color is not important. Gender is not important. I'm looking for the best candidate. So if the brief is like that, then the beauty is that the spec is open. But where a client is specifically looking for a female, and most importantly, a black female, you can't deter from the brief. So that's where we would put together our research team and would identify those people. Let me just give you a practical example. We did an assignment where a client was looking at appointing a CEO, and first preference was black females. We interviewed quite a number of black females, and I would have expected the people that were identified to compete on the same par with the rest of the people that were invited for the interview. We ended up going for a black male, not because the black females were overlooked, but because the black females refused to raise the bar. Ndibu wants to complain.
Ndibu is breathing deeply. But before, okay, Ndibu, you go. You go, and then I will introduce.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to introduce.
No, you go first.
You know, right now in the studio, it's a scenario that I don't find myself, you know, in. Most of the time, it's the other way around. Today in the studio we're sitting is three females and one white male. So.
Okay, so, welcome to our wonderful, yes. and his hot girls.
Absolutely. So that's why before I say anything, I wanted you to do the introduction, you know, so that we've just reversed, you know, the
situation. We've reversed the role.
Exactly. You go ahead.
Ignacio, am I saying it right?
Yeah, it's right. You must use Nacho. That is my nickname, and it's very more convenient. Nacho, like nachos.
Like nachos. Oh, okay. Because I wasn't even gonna try and say your last name.
Nacho.
Welcome, and you are the partner to Talent Africa. Now you have to say this name again. Signium.
You cannot imagine how many dollars we pay to someone to give us the name that nobody is able to pronounce. That.
Well, I don't know. You know, with your foray into Africa, and you're the international partners to Talent Africa, you're going to have to teach a lot of people how to say that word. Because when you see it written down, I looked at it and I thought I was going to say it. Then I thought, you know what?
It's you know, when you have we need to contact someone to do this, it's impossible to know the result, no? And this is the case. But no, the name has more than 25 years, but okay, we can improve the name for sure.
You can improve the name. Well, you join us in this heated moment where one of the things. So here at Womandla, we're all about the empowerment of women. We're all about the power of women.
Yes.
And as Ndibu says, we don't get this very often where we have one male in the workspace, especially in that C-suite, in that executive lounges. You don't get this where there are more women than there are men. Even in Africa, where there are more black women than there are men. So you wanted to say then, Ndibu?
Yes. what I wanted to say is a bit answering, you know, your question, as in when you go there and you interview, you know, black women, and the brief is very clear, you're looking for a black woman, and you feel quite frustrated because you don't get that answer. And I find it comes to the one thing that we as women don't actually focus on, and our male counterparts focus on, which is the EQ. And when I'm saying EQ, it's not necessarily how you handle yourself emotionally. I'm talking about the EQ of how you're running things in a business, not the you know, the intelligence, the technical know-how. We do have that technical know-how, but what gets you in that top position? It's not your technical, because you're not going to do the work. It's how are you going to play the game? How are you going to? And that's where men beat us. Because they have been playing that game chess as they are being groomed and going up into, you know, climbing the ladder. So when we get there, we get questioned on the gameplay. And we have never, we actually don't know how to.
Never been in gameplay.
In the gameplay. And when I'm talking about the gameplay, and I can see you're nodding on
well,
that
I was
going
to ask for you, Nacho, is 25 years in the business.
No, in my case, 25.
Yes.
But the company has 60 years.
And in the executive space and now growing into Africa, as you're making this, South Africa is your first partner in Africa?
No, we have offices in the North Africa, in Egypt, and this area is covered from the north, and this is the first time.
In sub-Saharan Africa. In sub-Saharan Africa. And for me, the thing that I... So, Ndibu, you touch on the gameplay, on the chess, on what men learn going up the ladder, what women miss. But importantly also for me is we try and, you know, we want to be global players. What do women miss in the global gameplay of getting into that C-suite, getting into that chief level?
At the end of the day, in different regions around the world, you have different ways to understand the situation. It's funny because when we are, many of us, that we have meetings internally and we discuss about this issue. And for example, it's funny, but this is the case. When we were discussing about this, and we have someone from America, someone from Europe, someone from Asia, and someone from Africa, and this conversation was true, and was the European says, okay, the law obliges us to improve our diversity in our clients. And the Asian says, diversity, what do you mean? No woman? And the Latin American says, I agree. And the American says, diversity, what are you talking about? Baptist, transsexuals? Because for them, diversity is something that is completely out. But what are you talking about? We are in the 16th century or whatever. Diversity. And then the situation is, you need the law. Because in the States, for example, we are obliged by law to introduce at least, if we have a final three candidates, at least one must be a woman. It's by law. It means that it's something that you need to do. And even we are now, for example, we have the same problem with minorities, no? And then we need to, even we pay extra bonus to our associates when they discover women on this, because not in all professions is easy to find. In Europe, that they were reluctant to apply, now the European Union is in the process to apply, and it's coming country by country. For example, it's mandatory in Germany, in UK, in France, and it's coming in Spain and Italy, that the 20% of the board of directors and the 20% of the CXO must be women. And if you are not, and your company is not filling these requirements, you are not authorized to, you know that in Europe, when you close the fiscal year, your books are going to some place, and this allows you to contract with the government or to do things. If you are not fitting these standards, you cannot send your books to the administration, then you cannot contract with administration, you cannot ask any paper. It means that everybody is recruited.
You're not
like
compliant,
men.
Yeah.
Then the question is Africa. Probably Africa, in South Africa even, is one of the places that this is more developed, no? But at the end of the day, it's a question of you need some help from the administration, because it's true that in the countries when we are obliged to do this, it's because the law obliges you to do it. Because it's true that I don't have any difference between men and women. It means if my client asks me that we need to contact the best guy for this position, for me it's the same.
So, I agree with that, and I understand that the government must help. The government must put in laws, because people won't do it. Because people hire people they feel comfortable with. People hire people who are similar to them. Or, you know, that's just how it is. That's why diversity must be legislated.
But it's why now in government they have introduced this whole BE thing, where companies have to comply And then if you are 100% black owned, black female owned, you're automatically on a level one.
Yes.
And then if you have 51% black owned, you automatically qualify for a level two. And then if you're still, if you still have black ownership up to about at least 26%, and then there should be black management, black female management, you still qualify again to level two. So they push that. And what happens is a lot of big organizations, when they use small organizations, they need to use you if you are either a level one or a level two. Otherwise, you push your scorecard down.
Okay, so that's what the government does. Mm. But I want to know what I can do. So on the one side, I mean, as the laws are there and everybody is pushing for it, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But if the people are not there, like you had the situation where the female executives are not there, where they don't know how to play the game, where they don't know how to go up the ladder. That's because the failing is on the part of the executive. So I want to know from the search environment, from interviewing environment, what is it that women in the workplace need to do in their career development to give themselves the best opportunity to be available when those jobs open up?
The most important thing, it's positioning, number one.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean by positioning?
Women, women need to position themselves. A lot of times when we're in organizations, we still want to behave like we're at home, where your brothers have to be up front and then you always have to take the back seat. When you are in an employment, you need to compete against your likes. So you position yourself to say, should there be an opportunity for a promotion? And let's just say in the department, it's three males and two females. The females should compete at a level where it's not going to be about gender. You get appointed because of your competence. So that's why I'm talking about positioning. So you position yourself to be the best of your own. So when you start competing against your own, you become the best.
Mm. Okay.
I just want to come in a little bit.
You're not sure about that.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about myself, my history. Mm. Because mine was actually slightly different, because I joined the corporate environment in 1988.
Mm. When there were changes left, right, and center.
No, 1988.
Mm, mm.
Okay? There were no changes then.
The changes only started after 94.
Mm. Exactly. Okay? I was employed at Rickett and Coleman then, which is Rickett Benckiser now. And when I was employed, it had nothing to do with my color, my gender. It had to do with my talent.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into the working environment, I didn't want to, I'm positioning myself, you know, above or to be better than, I was just positioning myself as a person who will, and I'm being very careful of how I, you know, because I didn't define myself as a black woman
candidate.
I was positioning myself to be the best employee amongst other employees, whether they were men or women. And the situation I found myself is the situation that's still currently, that I'm still in at the moment. It's the only black woman, white males.
But that
only. They taught me a totally different thing as to don't focus on I'm looking different. We are here, we are colleagues, we're at the same level, we have to do the job, we get evaluated the same.
Were you lucky though? Were you lucky? Because a lot of people are still looked at.
Exactly. I'm saying I'm lucky. I was very fortunate because it was a very difficult situation that put me in there. Because, I mean, then the discrimination was even worse. But it taught me. So, yes, you're right, I was lucky.
I want you to understand that we're talking two different things with what Ndibu is saying. Ndibu is talking about the entry level. Mm. At entry level, it's easy. You all get thrown in and you all swim.
Is it easy?
But when I'm saying it's easy, I'm saying the parameters are not as thoroughly defined as when you move up. When you get higher, it gets hotter.
I was given that example. Can I come in?
Yeah.
I was given that example to say, that's how I started. And even now when I'm sitting at boards, it's exactly the same situation. I'm still alone as a black female, mostly with white males. There are males, black males, fewer, but with white males. And so why I was referring to my start situation is it gave me in my mind to walk in, and I was just trying to say, us as women, we need to just say we are there as employees competing with our other counterpart employees, not males. Because when we try to do that, we try to want to be like them.
Okay.
Continue to be yourself. But do the right thing.
The best of yourself.
I am completely with you. It means that when you are introducing yourself as a black female or a minority Latin American, instead to introduce yourself as the best chief financial officer or the best chief technology officer, you are doing a mistake. Because at the end of the day, what you are looking is the best chief financial officer.
Mm-hmm.
You are not looking the best black female or the best black Mexican or white Mexican. It means at the end of the day, probably we are living in a different world. I don't know, exactly in Africa is different, but never ever, along 25 years, never ever in my life, was obliged to look for a specific gender or a specific color. Never ever in my life. Majority of the times we are working for multinationals and they have a very clear policies about that and so on. And I agree with you. Probably in Africa, you said no black, no, as I understand you, no white females, no? In Europe, it's the same. It's terrible, difficult to find a candidate because at a certain level, that this is another thing, the ladies that they are continue working at the board level and so on is because they decided to stop their personal career and they want to develop their professional career, no? And in many of the cases you have, I don't know in Africa is the case, but in America and in Europe you can see many, many times that who is leading the family is the lady and the man is at home attending the kids. That in Europe you can see many cases of that both starting at the same level, and now, and for example, they starting in Pricewaterhouse, for example, and the lady is going up, and suddenly she's partner, and he is not only a manager, and at the end they decide, okay, I cannot continue my partner career if I am taking care about everything, then we must choose, and my choose, what I am choosing is, I will be the partner, you will be my mommy.
So you raise a very touchy subject for, in particular, I think for African women, because the expectation in our society remains that as the woman, you are the person in charge of the family,
and the husband is the provider.
And the husband is the provider. And how much of that plays a role in women who then go all out to become the chief executives, to become the chief financials, chief information, chief whatever's in their organization? How much of that plays a role where they actually, their career development is stunted? Not because that's what they choose to do, but simply because that's what society is dictating to them at the time.
Look, I want to take a few steps backwards and just focus on South Africa. There was a time when we did not have enough black women in C-suits and in at board level.
We still don't.
We still don't.
We still don't.
No, but you are saying everything is open. So why is he agreeing?
No, it's open, but the people are not there. So it is open, but the positions do not get appointed into those positions.
Yes. Okay, but anyway, what I was saying to you is now that the government is fast-tracking appointments of black females, we see a lot of them excelling. And based on that, I have several people that I came across where the men had no choice but to resign and follow the wife, especially if maybe the wife is going to be an expatriate somewhere. So you're going to have to resign and go be a house executive as the husband. But then the one lady that I interviewed said something that was touching. She said, you know, my husband and I are modernized, but I struggle with my in-laws. They forever making me feel that I did something to their son, and based on that, I made him more like
my... Yeah, umuloyile.
Yes. So what I'm saying is we have women that are moving with the whole understanding of saying, I can look after my family because my career has allowed me. But our culture, it's still pulling them down.
True. And how do we supersede that? How do we... Because in the workplace, I think a lot of... And I see it with a lot of the younger girls that are, you know, coming into the workplace, is the drive is there, the ambition is there, they want it, but they want everything. Can you have it all? Can you be at this? Can you have it all? Can you be the super executive and the mom and the this? Can you have it all? Is it possible?
It's doable if there's support. If there's
exactly.
Support.
Yeah. If there is support.
It's complex, no? It means that I don't know if here you have conciliation programs, but at the end of the day, they are complex. It means that. Depends on the profession. It's not the same to work for the administration that you have a clear timetable, that, for example, to be an associate for Linklaters, the law firm, because you don't have time, because your client is in China, that he's acquiring an asset in Latin America and you are based in South Africa, no? It means that the timetables are completely different, no? At the end of the day, it's again, the government must develop programs obliging people to conciliate at the end, because it means that when you are young and you are at the same level, and it's independent if you are man, woman, black or white, you are fighting like a mat for a position. And then everything that you have as a disadvantage, for example, if you are mom or if you have any other condition that obliges you to dedicate hours to the thing than work, is a limitation for your promotion. It's true, but it's the same with someone who is a good, professional on the soccer or whatever, and at the same time is an associate of Linklaters. It's a disadvantage because at the end of the day, who is dedicating more hours is getting the final prize. No, it's a question of to regulate all these situations. No, and again to do everything at the same time as Superman or Superwoman. It's not possible.
It's not possible. You're saying you can't.
You can't do what?
You can't do it all. You can't have it all.
No, it's impossible. You need the support. I mean, even if you look at men, they reached those, I'm taking the South African situation, you know, they reached those because they had the support. They could have the proper family, the proper kids, because the wife was there supporting them to be able to put all those hours in getting themselves, to the levels that they needed to get at work. So you need that support. Hence, what you were saying in Europe, that you find that the woman has taken up,
Yeah, for sure.
And then the man now goes back. You need the support.
You wanted to say something else?
Yeah, because one of funny or not funny means that when you are, we were talking about law firms, not in Leighton. And one of the questions that one of the parameters that candidates are evaluating when you offer a job in Leighton or Clifford or whatever, please give me the ratio of how many partners are divorced.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because it's true. At the end, it means that how is the measure to if you are able to conciliate, no? And when a partner is coming from a professional services, maybe consulting, in the States that everything is regulated, said, please give me this ratio, because if the ratio is high, I know that they don't have life, and this is why they are divorcing. Okay,
that is a very grown-up question. Mm. I've never thought about that.
I can tell you that every time that I am introduce myself, that I am traveling 200 days per year, and from Japan to
200 days a year you're traveling.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second question from one of my parents is, are you still married? He said, yes. And you have kids? Yes. And my second question, my second answer is, but not with the same.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know what you were going to say, but I wanted us to go back to the numbers, you know, on wanting to answer the question that, you know, I think we didn't understand each other on some way. Do we have, you know, in reality, enough women at board level, enough women at sea level? You know,
we don't, and
I know you said Musima, we don't, and Musima, I agree. Well, and Musima, she is saying,
Musima, I see you rolling your eyes. And I see you rolling your eyes.
To me, what I want us to come to is, let's do the proper, you know, the proper what do you call it, audit, and an audit will give you. And I know there are so many. Just take your top 40 listed companies.
Okay, Musima, you're rolling your eyes. So
I want to respond to that. When I touched on the point of positioning, she quickly jumped in and said, no, you're given opportunities. And I kept quiet because I've got the statistics. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. There was a time when in South Africa, we had no black representative at board level. It was standard. When it was introduced, a lot of companies followed the idea of wanting to bring in people that can swing things for them in government.
Of course.
There were times where you find one person who is also a politician sitting on 10 boards. And if you look at their financial report, that person doesn't even attend meetings.
There was a very famous lady who shall remain unnamed, was on 53 boards at a time.
So that was the trend. But at the time, the issue was not about empowering these people. The issue was about having the number and also darkening your board. And then we moved away from that era. And then it became the era of saying, let us bring in talent that can bring change into organizations. So in line with that, that's when we started bringing in few people, because you must remember that a lot of companies still preferred women that had an opportunity to sit at C-suite to come and serve on their boards. So we had no black female that came from the C-suites. So the little that used to be there were the ones where every second company was grabbing. So we still had few females that were professionals that sat on several boards. So what companies are doing lately, they're not just promoting. And at that particular time, majority of organizations believed that the only department where they can fast track women was in HR. I don't know where the fallacy came from, but that's what they were doing. Every second organization in South Africa had an HR director as a black female.
And then it was the transformation director.
Yes. And then the beauty is that there were women in technical positions that position themselves for great opportunities. I'm going to just pick a basic example of the women that we know. A lady like Monhla Hlahla, she became the CEO of AXA and she did wonders. Unfortunately, she was replaced by a male. And it's not a trend that she was supposed to be replaced by a female. I'm saying where there were black females that made good mark in the business, we need to applaud it because there's few of them. Now, why are there few of them? I'm going back to the same thing that I said to you, positioning. We do have great women, but they don't position themselves as leaders. If you position yourself as an operations person and you become just too technical in an organization, you'll always be overlooked.
So the two of you are in violent agreement.
Exactly.
We don't. So women don't learn how to play the chess.
Yes.
Women don't learn how to play the power game in the boardroom, which is also, and you know, you're all calling it different things. But so then I ask this question again to say, I'm listening to the show and I'm thinking, I'm a manager, I'm in a technical position right now, and I want to be the person that gets headhunted. I want to be the person that when that opportunity comes, I get the phone call. What does that look like? What does that positioning look like? Do I have to be in the papers? Do I have to be in the... How do I become that person?
Can we get Ignatius to respond to that?
I can do it. It means that, at the end of the day, when someone phones us and said, okay, we need a general manager or a CEO, okay, what we are doing is we are deciding with the client which will be the places in which we are going to look for them, okay? It means that the first issue is that we are going to find someone from consumer, mainly consumer. Then we can suggest to the client that, okay, maybe in another. Then, I don't know here, but the situation, no, yes. It means the situation in the last 25 years is completely different. 25 years ago, when you want to make a selection, to identify the candidates on the phone was a disaster because you don't have information. It means that even you don't have who is the general manager or even the name of the company, even the phone, okay? Nowadays, all information is on the network. In everything that you want to get is or Facebook or LinkedIn or any page in internet, you can find anything. Then what's the most important thing to be a candidate? You must be, not only that you must be a very good professional, you must transmit to others that you are a very good professional. Then you must write, you must appear on panels, you must publish articles, you must do things that more that you are a good professional, because if you are a good professional but not nobody knows you. Normally, if we are doing a selection, we are attaching to the candidates, but the selection is we don't need to evaluate the whole market. We need to evaluate the top 100 to select just one. We are not evaluating 2,000 guys to select one, okay? Then the company is important. If we are asking you about any sector, you have on your mind that this company is doing better and this company is not doing well, okay? Then it's very important to be on the right company.
To be in the right company, so you can't be in
yes.
Exactly. You can't be in the crap bank if you want to work.
At the end of the process, at the end of the project, you are talking with your client and said, okay, this candidate is coming from company A, that is the wonderful company. Everybody wants to be there and so on. No, and this candidate that is very good, but is coming from company C, that you know the company has a problem. You know. And then the candidate said, okay, I prefer the candidate A. I don't have anything against the candidate C, but I prefer the candidate A because he's coming for the company. Okay, then it's very important to be in the right company.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to be proactive. It means that everybody must be writing articles, attending panels, going to conferences, because at the end, it's not only, I told you, to be a good candidate, because only if we are interviewing, we know that he's a good candidate. But this is the most important thing. Headhunters in general, all over the world, we are moving less than the 3% of the CXO positions. Even today, 97% of the positions worldwide are covered by, I know a guy.
Yes.
I know a guy.
That part is awesome.
Yes. I know a guy.
97%.
Yes.
We are moving 3%, and in some countries even less. 3%. It means that when I, and this is stupid, because many times that I am discussing with my clients, said, okay, when you have a problem with your taxes, what are you doing? You are selecting a good guy to help you with your taxes, or you are attending recommendations from someone that I know the guy. No, and I put examples. And I didn't say, okay, but the most important thing that is that you need someone for running your company, that is your wealth, and you cannot make any mistake. You are not using a professional like us, and you are attending a recommendation that I know a guy, no? This is the case. It means that if you take in account that 97% of the cases, many CEOs are placed because I know a guy, okay, then it's very important to be a very well-known person.
A known guy. You must be a known guy. I think the thing about, for me, social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, those profiles, especially here at home, you see how a lot of us use those platforms as bragging platforms. You know, my holiday, my selfie, my this and my that. How important is it in this century, with all of that access that everybody has, that you craft those profiles?
It's very important.
Well,
it is very important. I'm going to give you a practical example. This happened in our previous partner, in the previous company that I worked for many years ago. This guy was identified as the final shortlisted candidate. He was going to be appointed as a CFO. And the interviews were done, references were done. Just before they could send out an appointment letter, the chairperson of the company went onto social media and he saw this person posting. It was either a nude picture or something like that. But the reflection that he saw was not what he wanted as the image of his company. Based on that, they withdrew him from the list.
This is
very important in terms of, okay, all social networks, Snapchat and many others. At the end of the day, to be on a social network, for example, LinkedIn, at the end of the day is when you are looking for candidates and the only limitation is South African original. You have South Africans in New Zealand, Australia, London, or whatever. The only way to access to those candidates all over the world is through a network like this, LinkedIn, okay? Then LinkedIn and many others is fantastic because we are in, and even Skype, BlueJeans, those technologies that you are interviewing a candidate in Mexico for a position in Hong Kong. This is fantastic, this is work. In the States, but only in the States. In the States, and we are lucky that only in the States. We have a meeting, all the big companies, we have a meeting in New York once a year that we are playing the game, okay? Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the market? How do you feel about your investments in Africa or your investments in Asia? Mm-hmm. And 5 years ago, we were discussing because our clients in the States, as part of our process, that means that the interview, checking references and so on, they want a report. They want a report in which we check his social life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we were discussing about that. And I, as an European, says no. And
it's American, their social life.
And the American says, why not? And I says, no, because my life is my life. I may be the best chief financial officer in the world, but you know, I can run naked on the beach. But this is my problem, it's my life, it's what I am doing out of my world. But the question is that we have a terrible discussion. At the end, we were able, because at that time we were majority of Europeans, I said, no, we are not going to check this. But I can tell you that in the States, they do it. They
an do audit it. Of your social media yes. platform. Do you foresee sweet, Mole?
Let me tell you. I'm going to give you an example.
How far do you go?
What I do, when I've got a shortlist, okay? Remember, as headhunters, we have different rules compared to your normal recruiters. I say to my clients, if I place my executive with you, should he leave within a year, I replace him free of charge. So I cannot run a business where I'm going to take risks of appointing someone who has a potential to click on the bedside with the client because of the cultural fit. So what I do, I get onto the system. I get onto the internet because anything that you put on the internet, it's for public. So I get into the internet and I do my research about executives.
So you try and mitigate a penny sparrow. But how far back do you go? You know, so this year, 2017, when did Facebook start? 2003 or something ridiculous like that, right? There are people who were early adopters. 20 years ago, guys, 20 yeah. years ago, a person is 17 years old. You, the decisions you're making, the things that you're putting up on your social media are vastly different to what you... So how far back do you go? Where do you draw the line and where do you put the... I mean, come on.
Look, to be honest with you, if there's something fishy about the person, you don't even need to go deeper and deeper and deeper. You start searching and things will start popping. So there are people where you made a mistake once in a while. There, we can't judge you on that. But there's things that will always show if there's red flags on a candidate.
In the States, they are doing... in Europe we are not doing. And personally, I think that what I'm doing on my personal life is my personal life. And what you must check me if I am a good professional and I am fulfilling my work and your expectations, this is what you want to check. Obviously, if I am a drug trafficker, no.
Yeah, we had a case here in South Africa with a very senior official, C-suite, at a very big bank, who had an opinion on his social media that was essentially against the law in South Africa. That is stuff that you're not going to be able to get away with not checking on stuff like that. I can see that. But, you know, as I'm thinking about, if you want to play in that space, so you have to learn how to play the game. Mm. You have to learn how to play the game in the boardroom, yes, in the workplace, how to position yourself. But now, obviously, you also have to curate the experience that you put out into the world of who you are.
Yes.
Always, in order to become a candidate for those places. So, and last 5 minutes before we go, what are the top three characteristics that, besides the technical, I think when you get to C-suite, like Ndibu, you were saying, we understand that you know the job, you know how to do the job, you know, that's the technical part is taken care of. What are the top three things that one should work on today if you're a middle manager that wants to get to the top?
I want to say something to you. I say to all the executives, every time you do something, sometimes sit back alone and say, if the person that I work with daily were to talk about me, what will they say about me? Because at the end of the day, we can say my social life is my life, but bottom line is at executive level, we take references. I will take three formal references, and 99% of the time, the references will reflect your life. So what is it that you want people to say about you? I cannot come here and swear every second word and then expect people to come and say, who's Musima? Musima is a pastor. That is not true. So be the person that you would want people to say it about you.
Okay. Top three for you that catapult a person from being just a middle manager, run of the mill, to becoming a chief?
I would say to people, work on your motivational fit. Because the
What does that mean?
Okay. Motivational fit means when you are being judged is how do you fit in within this environment? And fitting in is exactly what Musima has just said. You know, am I a good person? Am I not, you know, a swearing person at work? So you need to work on those things to say, in life, when I'm going to join people, I need to have demonstrated a character of fitting in within a group that I'm going to join. And that, in short, means you have to have a more balanced kind of a character. We all, yes, make mistakes once in a while, but you are not going to be judged on, you know, a one mistake you have made, but you're going to be judged on your trend. And that's what, you know, now they're going in and checking on your social media. Trend-wise, is Ndibu consistently posting her naked pictures, you know, every time and again? You know, I might have done it once when I was 18, and then from there it's gone. So if I'm posting those things, the company would look and say, oh my goodness, we don't want somebody who at executive level is actually going to flaunt herself, you know, in situations, because that's how you want to be recognized. You understand? That's what makes you, you know, stand out.
Okay.
As a person, you know.
Nacho, what are those top three? If that a person needs to get right as you're developing your career to get into that C-suite?
I think that for all the candidates that I am interviewing, they must show me passion. Passion is one of the most important things that you have in your life. You have passion for your family, you have passion for your friends, but you need to have passion for your professional life. if you don't have passion and you don't show others that you are passionate about what you are going to do, and you show others that I am passionate doing that, is the way that nobody recognizes you as a good candidate for that. It means that when you interview a candidate, and why do you consider our offer? Yes. And are you in this position to change? Maybe. And why, and you have another one that, what do you think about our offer? It's the best offer that I can get in my life. I want to do it. I am the best to do it because I love it, because all my life I was dreaming about this position. After technical considerations and many others, it means at the end, this is characters, but at the end is the case. It means that if you are passing for your life like a phantasma ghost, no? It means that nobody will consider you. Okay? First, this is one. Second is, along the life, I remember that sometimes I was recruiting serial killers, no? It means that in the 80s or in the 90s, the clients wants serial killers, someone who kills their staff, the competitors, even their boss, and to be the more aggressive guy in the market, okay? No more. Now, the way is, what we are trying to recruit is star makers.
Star makers.
Not rainmakers. Mm. A rainmaker is, you know, when you are in a tribe and the chief is going to make rain, and they ask to the rainmaker, and the rainmaker make rain. It means that someone that is just one, the only one, that he's able to do rain. Mm. But now we are looking for another concept, that is, we need star makers. And a star maker is someone who is worried more about himself that all around you and even behind him, is able to develop those guys. And one of the questions that I'm asking to a CEO is, in the last position, how many of you, of your collaborators, are now CEOs?
Sure.
In your last position, your vice presidents, how many of them now are CEOs in a competitor? And say, no one. Say, you did something wrong. Because if you were not able to recruit vice presidents able to be CEOs, you are not the rainmaker the star maker that I'm looking for. Because the only way to find someone to help us to grow companies is someone who is able to develop the best candidates to be CEOs.
That's the one. That's the quote we end the show on. That is definitely star makers. So in fact, to become the next chief anything, it means that you're taking people along with you on a journey. Musim, I'm going to give you half a minute of ad space. Mm-hmm. Talent Africa is growing. Talent Africa, so that people know who Talent Africa is. This is your moment.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm excited to talk about Talent Africa. We have recently become a member of Signum International. And are you going to give Ignatius a chance?
No, you are
because,
it.
No,
you are
it. The reason why I was saying that was because I want to give airtime to Signum as opposed to Talent Africa. Talent Africa is a brand that everyone knows. We are headhunters. You talk about a top CEO in South Africa, we are there to place the person. But now the beauty is that we've decided that part of our growth strategy is to have an international alliance. And we looked around and we picked the best. Signum has been in the industry for over 60 years. And looking at how vibrant we are, we decided that we cannot join a company that looks like a flop. We need someone that looks just like us. We are a winning team and we needed to join a winning company. So Talent Africa is a company that has positioned itself to partner with organizations in ensuring that the leaders they bring into the organization meet their cultural fit. The leaders they bring into the organization really dance to the beat of the organization. And these are the leaders that do exactly what Ignatius was saying. They pull everyone along with them.
So you're the star maker.
We are
in
the star
in
makers.
The headhunting business, you're the star makers. Thank you so much for coming and joining me. Thank you for the conversation. I feel like I'm not ready for C-suites just yet. but I definitely will be. I'll be waiting for your call, guys. I definitely will be with this. I'll definitely be waiting for your call. Yes. Thank you for coming into the studio. I'm Phumi Mashego, and you have been tuned into Womandla. CliffCentral.com.